question. But I'm grateful for the repetitions. And I'm grateful for the 5 minutes in between them. Father, as the wind and the flood and the fire blow us into our surreal hell, we don't get to talk to the greatest generation anymore. This is a rare privilege, sitting with Father. Now what his generation did is monetized as nostalgic billion-dollar movies, celebrities running around with movie guns. We haven't found our war. We haven't figured out how to describe what's happening to us. But surely something like worldwide violence is happening to us now. How do we demonstrate that it is something real? After the climate conference in Egypt, it comes home to us. How that war that's going on right now is converted into corporate press releases and negotiations and we should get busy dramatizing our own apocalypse. Am I right? How do we do that? The enemy is completing its invasion. The investor class, the fossil fuel investors, making their billions of dollars. They're getting away with it. And you and I have not been able to convince our neighbors that it's actually happening. How are ticket sales for that singing of yours, Billy?
This is Cy Khan here at KBOO Radio in Portland, Oregon, a liberated zone. Listen to community radio, support community radio. It belongs to us. KBOO.
This is Joseph Galvan. I'm your host for Art Focus. KBOO Community Radio is only possible with your support, so join the party and contribute at kboo.fm/give or by texting KBOO to 44321. That's kboo.fm/give, or you can just text KBOO to the number 44321. Thanks a lot.
Andy Warhol looks a scream, and him on my wall. Andy Warhol, silver screen, can't tell them apart at all.
My name's Joseph Gallivan, and you're listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guest this week is Sima Famelot. She's the curator of The Earth Laughs, which is on now through April 30th next year at the Lobby Gallery at Ellen Brown Building, 2871 Southeast Division. Thanks very much for doing Art Focus by Zoom from Austin, Sima.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
This is a great show. It's flowers. It's flower-based art. It's so beautiful. And if anyone hasn't been there, the Ellen Browning Building is co-housing, but they've opened up the beautiful lobby to the public, and at certain hours you can go in, look at this art. It's not for sale. It's you curated it, and who is the collection? Who owns the collection?
Yes. So the collection is owned by the owner of the building. Her name is Molly McCabe, and we're using her private collection as a resource for me to curate exhibitions in the lobby. And as you mentioned, the lobby is open to the public, and it's free, and it's open Tuesday to Saturdays, 10 to 2. And one of the reasons for doing this was really just to have art to the public. Molly is very interested in philanthropy and being open and having people enjoy. She loves sharing. She wanted to be able to share the art collection with the community of Portland. Also, being on Division Street, they want to be very connected to the community there. It's a very interesting, fun community with restaurants and shops and people walking, and they wanted to be a part of that.
So this is not just your regular, developer throws some art in the lobby to lure people to buy condos or to rent apartments.
Actually, no.
I mean, this is good stuff. This is David Hockney, Andy Warhol, Prince, and different sculptures. It looks like you had a good time putting it together.
Thank you. It was so much fun. Even my mother was like, "How's it going?" I'm like, "Mom, there's flowers everywhere. It's so much fun." It's quality work too. So it's just, everything is just awesome and fun. And it's just been interesting to see my client's collection, because we didn't collect it with this in mind. She just collected things that she loves. And I'm finding nice threads through the collection that I can kind of pull out and make interesting exhibitions with.
How much stuff does she have? And is it all in one location?
No, it's in different locations. She has a nice size collection, but no, it's in different places. I mean,
hundreds of pieces?
No, not that kind of crazy. No, not huge amounts, but a nice size. Mm-hmm. And as I said, it's really just been collecting for love. And now she just wants to be able to share it because she has this great space to do it in. Mm-hmm. And now doing this, it's also just showing her kind of what she's been, her view and her interest. It's been kind of enlightening for everybody.
The major piece, which I think everyone should go to straight away, is called Flowers and People, A Whole Year Per Hour. And it's 12 monitors, but they're seamlessly integrated into a very big panel on one wall. And you have this computer-generated flower scene. All these different flowers, like dahlias and chrysanthemums, and a lot of different very colored flowers, and they're moving gently. Sorry,
I was just telling you more flowers.
tell me some more flowers.
No, I just like sunflowers, like kind of like you see things that are very seasonal, but it's kind of a conglomerate, and it's also it reacts to the viewer. So when you're walking across the space or you're closer to the screens, different things will happen. So it's this whole idea that it's reacting to you and showing you things, like as it's, again, all kind of happening in real time through the computer, through the self-generation. And it's also this idea that, things are happening, the flowers are growing, they're going through life, they're dying, it's a whole cycle. And that's the other idea of you're seeing a whole cycle in a year.
Mm-hmm.
In and out.
And the color schemes are very controlled. You get a lot of red and pink on this blue background. And I turned away for a few minutes and then it was all sunflowers, it was a dazzling yellow. So
right.
There are these cycles that are very, very slow, but they are definite. I don't know whether I saw seasonal changes, this year and a half.
It's very subtle, but like we said, the name of the title it's a whole year cycle. So there probably were seasonal changes, but it's very seamless. And like you said, it went from blues and yellows to pinks and reds. And that's the whole idea, is that you're going to look around and next thing you know, it's going to be something different.
These petals that come off in the video, they drift, but it's as though there's no gravity. They're sort of drifting in a plane on the surface of the image. And I also feel like it's a plan view, like you're looking down on a flower bed because everything is evenly spaced.
I think so too. It feels that way. It feels like you're not sure where it is. It's sort of like a little bit dislocated, that you could be anywhere also. And I think also because the flower types are always changing, maybe you are in one geographic area and maybe you see more of this type of flower somewhere else. The artist doesn't really say anything specific about geography. And I feel like it's about everything in a sense. And it doesn't matter where you are. You're always going to be seeing, life and cycles and death and growth. And I feel like that's a lot of it too. I feel like it's a lot with flowers. It's the whole cycle.
The artist's name is Team Lab. Who are Team Lab?
Team Lab is a conglomeration of people. They collaborate together and they've made multiple works. They're in major exhibitions and museums. They also have their own museum in Tokyo. And that's kind of all I know. It's a little bit mysterious, but at the same time, they're very well represented and very well presented in the art world.
Do they make, what other types of AI?
A lot of other works. They actually have had a piece sort of like this, also with flowers, but it was a situation where it was projected, and this was down at the Blue in Miami, and it was projected on the people in the whole room. So basically you're in this room and all these flowers are falling all over you. So they've done projections as well as something like what we're showing, which is monitors. They've also done other works that are more like waves. I've seen a lot of stuff that's very time-lapse oriented, and everything is just so beautiful and gorgeous. They're really fantastic at what they do.
This giant wall of monitors, it's a bit Fahrenheit 451-ish, but you know, this is kind of how I wish art, the direction art would go in, where big monitors are used to display just, you know, great art or, you know, something very aesthetic. It's not selling you anything. It's just an image.
Yeah, just an image. I mean, I've had people come in and say, don't ever take this down, which is lovely to hear. It's sort of the nicest compliment. People just love seeing it. And I feel like it does. It makes you happy. But I also feel like it's always beautiful. And it's always changing. So it's not as if you're stuck with a static image, which is also very interesting. As we talk more of the exhibition, there is other types of artwork that is very static. So the juxtaposition between something like this that's always moving versus something that will never change, I think is also super interesting.
The woman who sits at the desk in the lobby is an art history graduate. Her name is Beck. I talked to Beck for a few minutes and asked her what it was like looking at this work all day. Let's see what she had to say.
I'm here with Beck Alfaro. She's the gallery attendant at the Lobby Gallery at the Ellen Browning Building. Beck, what do you see when you're working and you're looking at this piece for 4 hours at a time?
It's this sort of meditative experience, sitting here and being bathed in the light and colors. I'll be sitting here and working on something focused and look up and it's completely different. There's a whole different color scheme, a whole different pattern of flowers and petals. Even the way that the shapes float across the screen weightlessly is captivating and inspirational.
It is really interesting because it looks like slow motion wind-blown petals and stamens. But you're right, there's no gravity. They're not falling or really heading in the same direction. And it also feels as though we're looking from above. It's kind of a plan view of flowers, even though it's on the wall. How much sort of differentiation is there? How much does it change, do you feel?
You'll never see the same combination or like arrangement twice. It's AI generated. Every monitor responds to each other and the motion sensors, and yeah, it completely changes every single time that you look at it.
Part of your job is you have time to work while you're doing this. It's not a very busy lobby. So if you're looking at a screen all day and then you look up to this huge screen, which is not changing that much, you know, but it is fascinating. How does that change your mood as you go back and forth?
When I look up and I see this screens that are completely separated from what I'm doing, it makes it easier to clear my mind of the busyness that I'm experiencing with my own work.
Yeah. Thanks very much, Beck, for taking time to talk to Art Focus.
Thank you so much for having me.
That was Beck at the Lobby Gallery talking about Flowers and People by TeamLab.
You're listening to Art Focus on KBOO. My name is Joseph Gallivan. I've been presenting this show for exactly 10 years this December 2022. I do it because I love art and I love artists, and I know listeners need to keep track of what's out there, and there's not that much coverage anymore in Portland of the visual arts. I just want to remind you all, this is a great time to become a member of KBOO. Show your support for Art Focus and for KBOO by becoming a KBOO member today. Help us meet our $70,000 end of year membership drive goal. We're community funded, so we need your support to get there. Just go to kboo.fm/give or text KBOO to this number, 44321. Thanks very much.
Simmer, you're the curator around 90 degrees around the corner. You put a piece called Supergirl Kryptonite by Petra Courtwright. It seems to be painting on aluminum or steel, where there's a lot of removing of color to make imagery It's kind of like a landscape. It's very colorful flowers, shapes in the foreground over a sort of light blue sky. What do you know about Petra Courtry? What can you tell her about?
Petra's an interesting juxtaposition also to Team Lab, because she's also in the digital world, but very different than an organization like Team Lab. Petra works by herself. This is what she's called a painting without paint. So all the images are done from digital imagery that she collects. She has this entire archive of images, whether it's images of flowers, whether it's images of paint types, paint colors. So you'll see in the image, there's all different things that are happening. And she figures out how to put it all together and then make it a cohesive single image. And she talks a lot about how, you know, this is the way that we're seeing things these days. It's almost like we're always kind of patching things together, the way that our world is working these days with imagery on screens, images in real life. And I feel like she's done such a beautiful job of creating another image from what we're already seeing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I looked at her Instagram and it kind of looks, some of it looks like traditional painting.
Yes.
But this is... The issue has always been for digital artists how to make a permanent object rather than... Alexa, stop. The issue for digital artists is always how to make a permanent object rather than something, you know, that's on a screen and disappears.
Right.
So is this a direction she's going in now? Has she always made these
paintings? She's always been... I mean, she was sort of, and she still is, sort of the darling of digital art. But I would say that, at least for me, I like seeing how artists have the digital in their toolbox, and then they figure out how to use that as another, say, let's say, tool to creating art. And I feel like she's done that beautifully with the digital format and kind of thinking about, again, images within the digital format, but also thinking about art history. She's not just making a digital image. This is not, you know, an image that's so beautiful. She's definitely connecting it, I think, to... art historical trajectory. I see Monet, I see a lot of other art history references in there. And I know that's something that she's also thought a lot about, and she's involved in that conversation.
If she has on her Instagram, she actually has a picture of her wedding dress from 8 years ago. And it's a white dress with a lot of flowers printed down the front. So it's obviously dear to her heart. next to her work are four prints by Andy Warhol. These are each one is made of several sheets of paper, usually three, and they overlap slightly, so you never get a pure rectangle. He's just really doing his thing where he reprints an image, in this case a flower, which is fairly roughly drawn. It looks like a thick chalk or oil crayon kind of stroke, and then he reprints it varying the color scheme. So pink, yellow, and turquoise in one, orange, pink, and yellow in another. What is it about Warhol that people keep collecting them in little sets of four, so multiples?
Right. Well, this is a portfolio, so it all came together, let's say, as opposed to some works is different. But I just feel like one of the things that Warhol was very known for is repetition. So you'll see a lot of his works done in a little bit different ways, but let's say it's all Marilyn Monroe, or it's all soup cans, but maybe the soup can has a different name to it. So you're seeing different variations where you're noticing different things, but it's still in the same genre. And I love this work for that reason too. I feel like he's showing you how if you change just a little bit of like the background, the color, some paint choices, you have an entire different kind of vision. You have a whole different thing in front of you. And that's the idea also of monoprints, is that there's something in there that's the same throughout them. And then there's something in there that's always changing. So that's why with this, it's the same flower, but he's changing the background and the construction paper and some of the paint.
So these four monoprints were a kind of, you said portfolio, they were just...
Yeah, they're actually a portfolio of five, but we kind of cheated and put in four. I'm the curator, so I got to cheat a little.
I always think with Warhol, you know, one of his points was once you're famous enough, you can make art like it's a license to print money. You can just keep repeating things and anyone will buy them. What is it about repetition that you feel? What does repetition in this case make you feel?
I feel that, you know, when I look at a flower that's more pinks and reds, it feels very different than the flower that's more on the blue paper. I definitely have a whole different kind of mood, or it's a different vibe. And I feel, I mean, I'm a huge Warholian fan. I love him. And I feel like he's one of the most important artists of the 20th century and hopefully beyond. And I just feel that he's so good at taking something very simple and making you stop and really focus on it and realizing, you know, why. I mean, obviously it was very different than if it's a commercial object like a soup can, here's a flower. But I feel like in the continuum of Andy Warhol, it's not surprising. He's so good at fixating on one thing that's super important to all of us in some way, and then kind of using that as a way to like create his art, let's say.
My name is Joseph Gallivan. You're listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guest this week is Sima Famelot. She's the curator of The Earth Laughs, which is on now through April the 30th, 2023 at the Lobby Gallery, which is in the Ellen Browning Building at 28th and Division in Southeast. Sima, when you get across the room, you've got this painting by Max Janssen, Flower Tree 2. Sorry, is that a painting?
It's a painting. His name is
Max. Because I remember the background, the pale blue background was very carefully brush-stroked, almost like he'd use a comb. You know, the lines were so carefully arranged. So we have a bough, a sort of gnarled bough of a tree. You know, it could be like a maple or some kind of low shrubby tree. And then it's giving off different flowers, big kind of poppy-like orange and red flowers. Then there are dark brown and yellow ones. Then there are some little floating flowers that aren't connected to the sinuous branches and twigs. What do you like about this painting?
So I love Max Janssen's work. And he was the artist that I was referring to that talked about how with an oil on linen painting, it's always static, it never changes. And he actually was in town and gave a talk to a middle school class that came to visit and see the exhibition and hear him talk. And he talked about how he loves painting because you always are going to see the same thing every time. So it's almost the exact opposite of the team lab idea. The team lab, you'll never see the same thing twice, ever, ever. And for him, he loves that in our world of craziness and always things changing and screens changing, he loves that his work is always going to be the same every time you come back. And I don't know about you, but I also love reading books. And I feel like every time I read a book again, it's the same words, but I'm not the same. So when I see the same thing, something has changed because I'm not in the same place. And I feel that way with painting. And one of the things I also love about Max's work is his brushstroke is so beautiful. It's so lush and it feels like very physical. And I feel when you get close to the painting, you're seeing different styles within each part of the painting. And I'm sort of cheating again because I've heard him talk about the work. He talks a lot about formality in the sense of like how he's positioning his imagery and what he wants the viewer to see and how he's balancing things. And one of the children that was there that morning that he spoke asked him a question about why did he outline the branches? And I was cracking up because I'm like, I've seen this work so many times and I never noticed about the outline. But a kid seeing it for the first time, that's what he picked up on. I thought that was kind of cool. Mm-hmm. And he did answer the question. He talked about how he was trying to sort of show you a different light source and highlight that area and really define it. But again, that wasn't my focus. I guess I was more focused on the flowers and the brush strokes. So even within a static image, everybody takes from it something different.
Mm-hmm.
This is Joseph. I present Art Focus every Tuesday morning and in eternity online. 80% of our funding comes from members and less than 10% of listeners are members of KBOO. That's a lot of people listening for free. Now, don't feel that guilty because we all do things that cost nothing. But if you would like to subscribe, become a member, just show your appreciation for KBOO and for Art Focus. I'm trying to provide coverage of the visual arts that's approachable and accessible and fair. So help me out. Go to kboo.fm, give, or text KBOO to this number, 44321. KBOO has trained thousands of people how to make radio. They often show up, take the classes, volunteer for a bit, and then disappear into the industry. We do it all for free, and thanks to the support we receive from members. So really, by you donating, your help training the next generation of radio people and even podcasters. Thanks very much.
In the corner, you've got this giant book of Hockney paintings, you know, print. It was so big. I wish I had time. I opened it. It just fell open at Mr. and Mrs. Clark and Percy, which is one of the first paintings I ever really liked.
So come on, just coincidentally?
Yeah, I saw it at the Tate when I was like 17. I hitchhiked to London and wandered around and stood in front of it and took it. And my mate took a picture of me.
That's crazy.
It's so nice to see a lot of Hockney in a book because, you know, we see him on computers and we see him sort of scattered. But then you've got, I don't know why the book's there, but I think because you've got three big Hockney iPad sort of finger paintings, you know, where he's just created work on an iPad. And they're all scenes of trees on roads. So tell us a little about the arrival of spring in Woodgate, East Yorkshire, 2011.
Well, you kind of hit on it about Hockney. He's been around for a very long time. He's a very important artist. He's now in his 80s. And he's I love his work anyway. I think he's an amazing painter and colorist. And I feel like you always see that in his work, especially in a book like this. It's like the last 50 years of his career. So you really get to go through the book and see all of his different styles and changes. But the coolest thing I think is that in his late 70s, he figured out how to use an iPad and how to make art on an iPad, where I couldn't do that. And I just felt like that is the coolest thing, that somebody of a different generation kind of made sure that they were staying current and they were always looking for, again, new tools in their toolbox. And he figured out how to create images with an iPad with this program called Brushes, which is an application. And he first just made sketches. He wasn't planning on using that as his, let's say, final work, but they started hanging the sketches in his studio and he realized they looked really good. And one of his assistants said, I bet you we can figure out how to do this as it prints, print it as a print basically. And they did. And now he's done very wonderful work, multiple series. This was one of his very first. And this is an area that he lives in Southeast London in the countryside. And he always walks through on the road every day. He talks about his walks. And now he takes his iPad with him and does his sketches and creates these amazing images. And now we get to enjoy them as prints.
Mm-hmm. I think it actually says Woodgate, East Yorkshire, which is up north.
Oh, sorry, sure.
But does he still live in England? Because I understood he left LA, went back to England thinking he would, you know, return like a salmon to its source. And he hated it. And, you know, somebody in his house dropped dead and he just moved back to LA. I don't know how nostalgic he is.
Yeah, he's still in Yorkshire. I don't know. I thought he still went back to go to the countryside, but I could be wrong.
Maybe he visits, but I don't think the return was that triumphant.
These were a few years ago, these prints.
In the sort of hallway, you've got some Alex Katz flowers, flower portfolio. These again are on sort of pastel backgrounds, but these beautiful orange flowers with deep green leaves, kind of floating. They're not realistic. You've got what look like purple tulips, and I can't see what the last one is. They're very sort of cartoon-like in a sense, very simple. What is the Alex Katz theory of flower painting?
So Alex Katz, just to give you a little bit more background about him, he is 93 years old, and he just had a show open at the Guggenheim in New York. So kind of an older gentleman at like the crux of his career still. Just really kind of everybody's looking at him. Everybody's talking about him. He's incredibly important. He's still making more work. He's not stopped. I feel like he and Hockney, why stop? They're artists. This is what they do. This is what they love. Alex Katz is also very well known as making very flat paintings. So that's why you were saying it seems very simple. It's always very flat. There's no kind of dimensionality to it. He wants you to see kind of the idea of the flower, kind of the idea of whatever it is that he's showing you. A lot of times it's figures. It's just the idea of the figure. He's not trying to, for him, he's trying to work with a two-dimensional space. So he's keeping it two-dimensional. And I think that's something really beautiful. And again, it's very almost anti-digital in a way. And I love that too. I also just think that these images are just, again, they're like candy. They're just pretty colors. The flowers are you know they're a flower. I couldn't tell you which one is which, but I know they're flowers. They feel almost like gift wrap. They're just fun and sweet.
Mm-hmm. It's always good to see what artists make in their 80s and 90s, but like all their friends are dead and they can still keep doing what they're doing and they don't really care anymore. It's just pure art.
It's just coming from the heart. And I really only use all these ages just to explain why I think these works are just so radically wonderful. And it doesn't matter what age you are. It's almost like you could be any age as long as you're always pushing your own boundaries. And I feel like these artists are, and that's why I'm sort of highlighting their ages. But the show it's all different ages.
My name is Joseph Gallivan. You've been listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guest this week was Sima Familot. She's the curator of The Earth Laughs, which is on now through April 30th at the Lobby Gallery at the Ellen Browning Building, 2871 Southeast Division Street. Thanks very much for doing Art Focus by Zoom, Sima.
Very welcome. Thank you for having me. It's super fun.
Andy Warhol looks a scream. Hang him on my wall. Andy Warhol, silver screen. Can't tell them apart at all.
Estás escuchando KBOO Portland.
Bienvenidos a un breve informativo en su estación comunitaria KBOO 90.7 FM. Hoy martes 6 de diciembre del 2020.